join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Fight by Dr. Marcia Bailey.
Amen, 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 amen. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. This is a good day. Something good is going to happen to you. Come on, get real close on me. I want you to see me. I want you to look into my eyes and understand. Cameras, get close. Understand that God is going to do something good. Cameras, get real close. Real close, cameras. Come on. Real close. And understand that God is moving on your behalf. Understand that God is shifting things. Understand that God has opened a door of possibility in your life. That's like get on the edge of your couch, sit up in bed, and let the devil know that you're not going anywhere, that you will not back down, that you will not quit, that you will not give up. Come on now. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name. Somebody say, I'm ready. Somebody say, I'm here. Somebody say, I refuse to quit. Somebody say, I'm not giving up. I will not be overwhelmed. Mesmerized by the devil's antics. This season will not get the best of me. I refuse to be broke, busted, disgusted in this situation. I'm about ready to turn loose heaven's forces at my voice. They're going to handle what needs to be handled in this season. I'm showing up for the fight. Showing up for the battle. I see you getting up. That's right, girlfriend. Put your Vaseline on your face. Take off your earrings. Square up. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. That's what we got to do this season. We came dressed for battle. Amen. Praise God. If you're taking notes today, praise the Lord. You want to know what I'm getting ready to talk about? The subject for today is fight. Just one word. Fight. As I went before God, I said, God, what do you want me to speak to your people about? He said, the same thing I've been telling you since April, fight. The same thing I told you when 2021 came around. When we would have so much expectation, some things would get ready to subside, and it looked like it wasn't going to subside, and things started happening that looked kind of crazy, unfamiliar to you. And I said again, fight. When I laid in the bed this morning, God began to talk to me. He said, Marcia, fight. So I don't know who was about to give up. I don't know who was made a decision. You know what, God? I'm just going to coast this thing right on out. That you're making a decision that is too much for you. That's something I say sometimes, and there's stuff going on. I go, too much. Too much. I had some friends down in the Low Country. They look at me because that's one of the things I say. And they look at me and say, Marsha, too much. And it seemed like things been too much. But I want to let you know, you have what it takes. You would not have been born at the time that you were born, living in this era, living in this season to be defeated. God placed in you what you need to fight. God has placed in you to for you to be an overcomer. He doesn't play games with our lives. He's not laughing and say, hey, I don't think they have what they take. You have what it takes. And I want to let you know, and I'm going to say to you what God's been telling me to all for about a year. Fight. We're coming up almost on a year. So we have to fight. Orangeburg, you got to fight. Fort Mill, you have to fight. Florence, you have to fight. Those of you in that hospital room, you have to fight. Mothers, as you walk past your children's room and it's empty, they're not in bed, you don't know where they were last night, you have to fight. Husbands, wives, you're in division, you're separated, you don't know what's going on. You're about to say, yeah, I'm done. I want to let you know you have to fight. Man, I don't know who I came here for this morning, but I want to let you know, do not let this thing go down the way the devil wants it to go down. Do not let it go down where maybe people are expecting you to just give up. Say, I know by now they say they're done. I know by now it's like they can't handle it. I'll never forget when the pandemic first started, I got calls from different people wanting to know how we were doing as a church. They expected the pandemic to be too much for us. They expected the pandemic to overwhelm us. They're like, well, what are you doing? How's it happening? You know, all the people are gone. I'm sure only the people were with you because they were there for the hype. We want to let you know, we're not about hype. We're about power. We're not about hype. We're about the word of God. And we are saying, as a people of faith, we're here to fight. We're here to fight. We're trying to build a building. Look like it's taking a long time, but we're not moved by that. We are here to fight. All the gold is his. All the silver is my God. The cattle upon a thousand hills belong to my daddy. If he told us to build it, we will build it. If there's opposition, we'll stand up next to the opposition. I don't care what it looks like naturally, but all we know, we got heaven backing us. All we know, goodness and mercy is with us. All we know is what the word, and what we're going to do is fight. Finances look messed up for some of you. You don't know how you're going to get out of debt. I sense God. I feel his presence. He wants you to fight. I sense breakthrough is around the corner. Reinforcement coming. Don't you quit. Don't give up. Amen. We're going to take a lesson from Nehemiah. So let's go to Nehemiah, the fourth chapter. He was minding his business. Some backstory here. Minding his business a little bit. Before the king as the cupbearer. A kind of cushiony job. A one of favor and honor. Especially at one point being in captivity. But he had favor with the king. So much so that the king knew his disposition. Even though he was, at one point, in captivity, a slave, held captive, gained so much favor that the captor discerned his ways. You don't know who is watching you. You don't know if favor is being accumulated for you. Even though you're in a rough place. And so some friends, some brethren came from Jerusalem, and he inquired and asked, how is our city? How is Jerusalem? How is my people? And they began to tell them the state of affairs, that it was burnt down and people are living in deplorable conditions. And his heart got heavy. He went before God. He began to fast and pray. And then he stood before the king, and the king noticed his disposition, asked what was going on with him. He began to tell him his concern. And then the king says, what do you want me to do?
I'm telling you, as you begin to seek God this season, a door of opportunity is going to open before you, and it's going to come from somebody. You're not expecting it to come from. When a door opens, speak. When a door opens, break free from intimidation, fear, whatever it may tell you. Shut your mouth, speak. And he began to speak, and the king began to help him, and he began to tell the king exactly what he wanted. And so he went to go check out the place and didn't tell everybody his business before he did it. I want to let y'all know, some of us, we tell everybody our stuff. Tell everybody our business. Bishop talked about that last couple of weeks, opportunity and opportunist. You know, be wise as you move forward, praise God. So he checked out Jerusalem, he told the individuals there who came out with him, some elders, and said, this is what I'm about to do. So they began to build a wall. They began to work. And the enemy didn't think they had the capacity to do it. The enemy didn't think they had the ability to move from one level to the next level. But when the enemy began to see that they made some progress, the enemy became angry. And if you read the third chapter, you see all the progress they were making about this wall was built, and this gate was built, and this wall was built. And then you have in the first verse, Sambalat was very angry when he learned that we were rebuilding the wall, that they learned that we were becoming successful. He flew into a rage and mocked the Jews. Second verse, saying in front of his friends and the Samaritan army officers, what does this bunch of poor, feeble Jews think they're doing? I'm reading from a new NLT version translation. Do they think they can build the wall in a single day? By just offering a few sacrifices. Isn't that something? I searched the scriptures. I didn't see any point at that time. I might have overlooked it. That they made some sacrifice, but they probably knew they were givers. That they made offerings before the Lord, and that God made a way for them to build because of their seed. And they said, you think your seed going to help you do what you think you're endeavoring to do? And so he said, you're nothing. They were poor, feeble Jews. If they were so poor and they were so feeble, what are you concerned about? He's like, well, who thinks they can do that? They don't even have a degree. If you don't think I can do it, why are you bothered by me? So where are they? How are you going to do such and such? You don't know anybody. If that's the case, why are you talking to me that I don't know anybody? So here you have in this fear, concern, hidden within this state, because they think, they want them to believe what they're saying about them. That you're too poor to build a wall. You're too feeble to build a wall. You think your offering gonna make room for you? You think your offering is gonna cause grace to be abound towards you? You think your seed is gonna give you favor? Do they actually think they can make something of stones from a rubbish heap and a charred ones at that? The enemy wants us to believe that you cannot do what God has called you to do. The enemy wants you to think that you cannot do, that it's too big for you to do. And he wants you to quit and be intimidated by the chatter that you're hearing right now about your finances, about your relationship, about your children, about whatever it may be. But I want to let you know again, fight. He says, do you believe that with your own hands, that's what he said, do you believe that with their own hands they're going to build this wall? They're not even educated in building. You got the Levites building the wall. You got people who, this is not their training, this is not their trade, but they began to put their arms to the work. Believing that not just their offering, I just want to stop right here, their sacrifice. That there's something that you gave cost you something. It wasn't easy for you to give it, but God impressed on your heart to offer a sacrifice. And I want to let you know that sacrifice has opened up a door of wisdom and skill and ability to do what God has called you to do. Now, many of you are saying that God has given me something to do, but you haven't really put a sacrifice on the altar. There's something that God gave you a vision for to do, to create. He's calling you to do something. You know this is not of your own wisdom. God spoke to you in your ear to start that business, to do this, to do that. I want to challenge you. Give a sacrifice. Because what you're doing is going to change the trajectory of your life and in your children's life. It's gonna put a wall of protection and provision around your family. Oh, I'm saying this by the Spirit of God. You get ready to eradicate poverty within your bloodline by this one step, this one move that you're getting ready to make. But you have to present a sacrifice. That's what I'm saying. And if that's you, you need to know what to do. Go to God. God, what should I give? What are you inquiring of me? How big is that thing? How great are you expecting it to move and impact? Your sacrifice needs to match it. That's tight, but it's right. Let's go to the eighth verse here. He said, they all made plans to come and fight against Jerusalem and throw us into confusion. So now it's not just Sanballat, but all of them. Everybody's coming together. Isn't it amazing? People who don't get along can get along just to come against you. It's the most amazing thing, and it always baffled us. You didn't even get along before. But because you're both on the outside, on the outskirts, watching something happening and going forth without you, now you become friends with one another to come into an alliance to come up against something that God is doing. 14th verse, let's jump through this passage of scriptures here. He said, then as I looked over the situation, I saw what was going on. I heard what was going on. I looked at where we were. I called together the nobles and the rest of the people and said to them, this strategy right here, if you're dealing with something and you know it's not normal, it's not natural, it's demonic. You say, this is the devil, this is the devil. You know, so don't go about it normally. Call some skilled people around you. Call some nobles. Man, when we been in a battle fighting for one of our brothers and sisters, some of our brothers and sisters having health challenges, when I'm going to God and I'm seeking God and I'm praying, I realize, like, what is this? I call the nobles. I call some people that I know who are skilled in this area. You can't have too much pride when you're up against the devil. You got to, when you realize this is beyond your pay grade, it's something you've never dealt with before, never seen before, you need to pick up a phone, call somebody who walked that way, been that way, who stands in a place. And I began to call some nobles that I knew in my life to tell them what I was dealing with. And here you have the response that Nehemiah is telling the people at this time. I know you're surrounded. I know this thing is pressing on you. I know you feel like you have no strength, no might. But he says, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord. Remember what he has already done for you. I pray you are hearing me right now. I pray you are getting this right now. I pray right now that you got up off your bed because you sense something happening, something different. It's coming across these airways. You know this is a message for you. You know God is giving you insight and giving you understanding. So you're getting up and you're paying attention. That's you. Put it in the message box and say, that's for me. That's for me. That's for me. I was feeling overwhelmed and I was feeling fatigued and I was feeling stressed out. If that is you, put it in the message box. We have service hosts. They will pray for you right now. They will say, girl, you got this. Man, my brother, you will make it through this. Do not quit. Do not give up. Do not be afraid of this enemy. You might be dealing with a virus in your body. You got a negative report saying you're positive. Do not be afraid of this enemy. You may have gotten laid off from your job and you're applying for work and there's no job in sight. Do not be afraid of this enemy. I just want to encourage you, even though you might get a word that your child been arrested and you don't have the bail money, you don't know what to do, do not be afraid of this enemy. What's going on in your body? What's going on in your mind? You feel like you're getting ready to have a breakdown. You feel like you're getting ready to lose it. You can't keep your thoughts together. Hear me now. In the fragmented thinking of your mind, do not be afraid of this enemy. May the power of God flow through your room. May his presence surround you. Arrest your thinking so you can hear me right now. Do not be afraid of this enemy. Remember how God brought you through. Remember how he healed you from cancer. Remember how he gave you that child when the doctor said you could not have a child. Remember when your credit score was in the 500 and you were able to buy your first home. Remember how he brought you out of college when you didn't know how you was going to pay for tuition. Remember how he healed your soul from what you went through as a young person, as a teenager. He'll brought you through that. He'll bring you through this. Remember how powerful he is. Remember who is great and glorious, and fight. That's what Nehemiah said. He's great and glorious. Fight for your brothers and your sons and your daughters and your wives and your homes. Fight. That's what this is about. You have to fight for your marriage and fight for your children and fight for your home and fight for your way of living and your way of life. Amen. So we're dealing with this pandemic. We deal with so much stuff this year. And the enemy wants us to quit. He wants us to give up. God gave us a promise, y'all. God told us, showed us some things. And we're going to make a decision that I'm not giving up, but I'm going to fight. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy. Stay alert. Watch out for the devil, your great enemy. The devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. 9th verse, stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over, I thought this is so appropriate, the world is going through the same kind of suffering. You are. You're not alone. And sometimes when we're going through stuff, you think you're all by yourself. All by yourself. I'm sure when my husband was going through what he was dealing with, the virus downstairs in that room on that floor by himself, it felt so isolated. You feel so lonely. And some of you may be feeling the same thing right now, but I want to let you know you're not alone. You're not alone. You can't see people. You can't hear people, but you're not alone. There's people who are dealing with the same thing you're dealing with. So you stand firm. Don't quit. Don't think you did something wrong. Don't think you missed a scripture or you missed service one too many times. I want to let you know, stand firm and fight. My goodness. And realize that we're dealing with this devil. And we're dealing with stuff that's not natural. It's at another level. This stuff is at another level. So what you did to fight the devil last season can't use to fight him this season. So we're not dealing with this natural stuff. And Paul explained this to us. Let's go to Ephesians 6th chapter. And many of us thought before all of this has happened this past year, he's like, nah, that's a whole bunch of stuff. They're really not an enemy. And you realize now, this is the devil. This coronavirus and all its kids, it's offspring strains from South Africa, UK. That's his kids, his cousins. He's having a family reunion. Is that a whole nother stuff? I mean, this is a whole nother level. They are perplexed. They're perplexed. Because what are we dealing with? We're dealing with a spirit behind this thing. It's designed to reduce you to zero, to get you to give up on your faith, to give up on calling on God, believing in God. But somebody say, no, not me. 12th verse, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. This is Paul saying in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, the 12th verse. We're not fighting against a flesh and blood enemy, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places. So we're fighting against an enemy that we cannot see. And then he goes on and talks about that we're wrestling not. This wrestling is not like, okay, we're going to arm wrestle or we're just going to throw each other down. But this wrestle speaks up to the death. That Satan wants to take us out. He wants to destroy us. And since we're not fighting a natural war, you cannot use, I say this all the time, you cannot use natural weapons to fight a spiritual battle. So this thing that we're dealing with, you cannot use natural weapons. You cannot fight with a gun, fight with your fists, even say some words in your flesh to handle this spirit. You got to use spiritual weapons to fight this battle. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 3rd verse, said we are humans, but we don't wage war as humans do. This is Paul saying. We use God's mighty weapons. So we have to pick up God's mighty weapons. So how do we fight? A few weapons that God's been dealing with me since this pandemic has started. Some weapons I need to use in battle that I want to share with you. The first weapon he began to deal with me about, he said, you fight with the word. As I laid in bed this morning, he said, you don't like what you see, change it with the word. If you don't like what's in your life, change it with the word. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, I believe the 12th verse says, for the word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides asunder. It handles. It separates. It deals with. So whatever you do not like, you fight with the word of God. Let's put it, make it clear. Now, that's what I've been doing. I've been giving my husband my words. I've been giving my boss my words, not your words, God's word.
In this season, we cannot allow the enemy to attack us without fighting back. God has given us the tools necessary to fight. In this powerful message, Dr. Marsha Bailey breaks down how to stand up and continue to battle anything that comes your way. To order this message, call 877-798-5433 or go to www.rightdirection.info.
As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at TheRDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.